Kaya Biz.
27 minutes after 7 o'clock, you are indeed listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Lots that we continue to talk about and still focused around the property environment and property space. And this time around, really looking at opportunities that might exist when it comes to industrial property. Now, truth is, I guess for you and I, property, as we know, is not only the primary investment we make for our homes, but maybe even also a great investment when it comes to rentals and lease agreements, as we had in our previous conversation, primarily when it comes to residential property. But have you ever wondered, all these things that we buy, all these things that need storage, where do they go? And that's exactly the kind of sector that we're going to be evaluating right now, which is, I guess, the self-storage property sector, usually also dubbed as the more the industrial kind of property environment, where, again, it does speak to not having physical tenants living in there, but of course usage for tangible items that do need a great sense of storage. And we're going to use one particular company as a case study, which is Storage, a property REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, which is listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and is actually one of the leading self-storage property funds that in South Africa. It's said that occupancy in its South African operation increased by 3.9% over the quarter to the 31st of December last year, and 8% compared to the same quarter a year ago. So that tells us something. People have a lot of things to keep in storage, and it's proving to make quite a significant business opportunity. To tell us more about this and perhaps provide an overview of what we are seeing in certain sectors of the economy when it comes to property, we join on the line by CEO of Galletti Corporate Real Estate, John Jack. John, good evening and welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Keeping well, thank you. At least the new year excitement is still in, so still quite a buzz, hoping that that the year ahead is going to be quite favorable.
I love it. I think there's a lot of positivity in the air.
Yeah.
Despite the monetary policy guys trying to tell us they're going to be interest rate hikes.
Right.
No, I don't love that, but the rest of it seems quite positive.
We'll get there, and I'm glad that you brought it up because it does speak to some of the elements that keeps us up at night. But I guess first things first, John, in your role and your capacity, you naturally have a wonderful overview of what we see within the property space in South Africa, despite your focus being more on corporate real estate. But help us unpack what's happening in the industrial space, particularly when it comes to self-storage. What are we seeing then? What have what has the activity been primarily in the last 2 years?
Yeah, so there's been a bit of innovation, I think. So in industrial space, you know, speaking as a whole now, industrial space, you've seen a lot of logistics development. So funds like Equites, for example, have invested heavily in the space. Fortress have invested heavily in the space. So these are really optimized logistics properties, which help the sort of FMCG trade, the e-commerce, et cetera, that's really for distribution, or they're called distribution centers. Then you see the older, what's really happened is the older industrial properties are starting to either be repurposed or knocked down, because there's, you know, South Africa is not really known as a manufacturing hub. There is a lot of assembly here. There is some manufacturing, of course, but it's not really a massive manufacturing country as, let's say, China, for example. I'd love it if we could stimulate that. I think that would really lead to massive growth in South Africa.
Mm.
But we need to, you know, there needs to be a focus on that. And then those older properties can get used because you literally build your machinery into the space and the power, because these older buildings come with a lot of power, et cetera, et cetera. So there'll be big demand for them. But at the moment, not a lot of demand. It's all logistics. And then, of course, you've got, you know, guys who've innovated like InnoSpace or Spare Space. What these guys have done is they've taken industrial property and they've kind of re-envisioned it. They've taken older B-grade industrial property and they've really sort of split it up and you do almost like a WeWork environment in the office component. And then you chop the warehouse down into sort of smaller, mini units, as it were, as opposed to having a mini unit park where you have your own little unit and your own little office. That's not really what you want. You know, you really want to have you want to have that shared work environment, you know, these tiny offices that are in the mini parks, maybe not, you know, as in demand as maybe an inner space model. And then lastly, spare space, you know, looks to rent out short-term warehousing where people can, you know, the commercial guys can really have an oversupply. So let's say during the busy season, you can just quickly take up a couple of thousand square meters, and then at the quieter season, you just shrink down again. And you don't have to commit to a longer-term lease. You know, in South Africa, we have these longer term leases, 5 years plus.
Interesting.
You mentioned storage earlier. That's also, I mean, what a great story and what a great business model.
Yes.
What they've really done is they've made storage sexy in a sense. You know, it looks great. The marketing is great. You've got these red doors, these glass building on the outside. You know, fantastic. What a great environment to store your valuables in, as opposed to what looks like a series of garages outside.
Right.
Doesn't feel that safe. And, you know, maybe you want to go there at 8 o'clock at night. No one wants to go walking around in a strange area with these sort of garage environments. Someone's going to come around the corner, you know?
Exactly.
And in a safety-conscious country, certainly storage is, it's great. It's a nice, well-lit corridor. You know, you go into your beautiful unit, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very clever business model.
Yeah, very clever business model. And I guess one that many more South Africans are trying to get into, right? And are trying to evaluate, well, what are my options? What are my opportunities here? And we mentioned storage being, you know, one of the leading REITs. So there is exposure, I guess, through the JSE. But I guess some of the other distribution hubs and other forms of shared working spaces, do those offer, I guess, any investment opportunities to retail investors or citizens like ourselves, or maybe budding developers, if that's even a space to consider?
You know, I suppose the big barrier to entry with commercial property in general, and this is not only industrial property, industrial is certainly, you know, my favorite sector, but the big barrier to entry is actually the quantum, so the value. You know, a small warehouse would be worth quite a significant amount of money. You know, let's say, you know, you're looking at, you know, a small building would be sort of in the region of 5 million rand. You know, the bigger buildings, you're talking 50, 100 million, and then, you know, keep going. You start talking about shopping centers and the like, you're in the billions.
Yeah.
So it's really a significant investment. And the major difference to residential property, in residential property, you need about 10% of the value you're going to need in cash.
Mm.
Whereas with commercial property, you need 30% of the value in cash. That's a big jump. And it's financed over 10 years as opposed to over 20 years. So that's kind of the barrier to entry. But certainly, you know, getting together or what I always suggest your best sort of point of entry is where your own business actually occupies the property. That's a great opportunity to buy that property because you can raise finance on the back of your own business, et cetera, et cetera. And you know that your tenants are sound, or that your investment is sound because you're running your own business. And I think that's quite a good sort of point of entry. Otherwise, you know, you're really looking at, you know, buying these properties. And like I say, they're relatively big ticket prices.
Yeah, big ticket prices. And you're quite right. It's not exactly the kind of money we club at a bar, at a braai stand, right? With a couple of...
Well, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not a retail investment. It's for a sophisticated investor, yeah. Sure.
Unless I need new friends, though, John. That's what you should be telling me.
Let me know.
Exactly. But on that note, this also speaks, as you said, you've provided clarity in terms of the opportunity that exists, what we are seeing in terms of the South African market, and of course, opportunities for entry. But also being wary of some of the risks that might come along with this. And I'm keen to get your thoughts. It seems as though the pandemic has been great, truly speaking, for the industrial property sector. Is that outlook still likely going to remain positive, especially as the economy begins to recover? And what are some of the risk factors that still might keep you up at night?
We're talking industrial here specifically.
Yes, sir.
100%. I think, you know, industrial is only going to continue to push, certainly in that logistics sector, like I was saying. These are very premium buildings. You know, I was on the phone to quite a significant property investor the other day, and they were saying, you know, in our portfolio, it's bizarre to think that the net rentals of office are now matching the net rentals of industrial. Okay, so these logistics buildings, their net rentals are so high that they're actually matching those of office, where in the past, you know, that there was just no comparison whatsoever. So what would keep me up at night? Well, I think, you know, you've got to look, you know, nodally. You've got to look at which area are you invested in. And this goes for anything, really, I suppose, is residential property, commercial property. It's all about the area. If the area is always going to be in demand, you don't really have much to worry about. There's always going to be demand for that space. You'll always find a tenant for that space. It's just about adjusting the rental. It's in the poorer areas or the further outlying areas that always get destroyed by demand. So the demand will move inward as the prices drop, and then it takes longer for the outlying areas to recover. But I would say what keeps me up at night, or certainly with commercial property, is the massive rates that owners are paying at the moment. Mm. Really, the rates just continue to go up and up and up. Okay. And the operating costs of maintaining these properties go up and up and up. And electricity goes up and up and up. And there's only so much that tenants can actually afford, you know, because it's the total affordability ratio. You know, a tenant will look at it and say, I'm going to total for this building pay 100,000 rand a month. And if you're not able to have an efficient building, that's in terms of electrical consumption, in terms of maintenance, whatever, a lot of your income, let's say that tenant pays you 100,000 rand, a lot of your income is going to go towards maintaining that property, paying insurance on that property, paying the rates on these properties, which continues to go up. And your net rental in the end of the day, which is ultimately your return as an investor, just gets cannibalized by all of these operating costs, as it were. Yeah. And that's, I think, the main concern for investors outside of the, you know, from a pandemic perspective, I think the businesses that are around are going to survive. They've been tested, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, within the first year, all the businesses that were going to wipe out probably did. And now we're at a level where, okay, the guys that are around are stuck around, we're comfortable with them, they're strong, but the amount that they can afford each month is getting cannibalized by my operating costs. And that's the problem.
Major problem. And you're quite right. Something that we probably take for granted, right? Because we just think that, this is big business. They're earning great rentals. So surely they can be able to manage some of these costs. But like you say, it's an ongoing dynamic and theme that we need to be cognizant of.
John, you've got to invest in technology, really, to try and reduce the overhead of your operating costs of the building. You know, you want to try and invest technology, or you want to have someone maintaining it who can give you a great forward view of how to maintain it. Because like you say, you don't want to wait until it's broken. You want to maintain it along the course of the lifespan of the building, but you want to do so as efficiently as possible. Design of the building is going to be important going forward. Electricity optimization. Does the building have solar power? You know, who paid for that? Did the landlord pay for that? Did the tenant pay for that? What's the cost of that power? You know, we're seeing a 20% tariff increase from Eskom. Well, that's what they're trying to get. It's electricity is hectic at this moment, you know. How's everyone supposed to continue?
And that's an interesting part. I want to shift it back to you now, and looking at Galetti Corporate Real Estate. And I've been fishing around your website, seeing phenomenal properties that you have right across the country. And I'm intrigued. Interest rate raising cycle. You mentioned the introduction of technology. And you've also got a wide array of assets, located right across the country. So I'm keen to understand, I guess, how you're positioning yourself for the year ahead and some of the opportunities that might come about. Acquisitions, letting go of some assets maybe, or other themes that we perhaps haven't been cognizant of as participants.
Yeah, so we certainly advise our clients, you know, to try and we certainly advise our clients on where those assets are to be found. So we're seeking, you know, assets that are moving into the low risk category that still have good yielding return. So strong tenants, low risk, longer leases, et cetera, et cetera. And where we can, what we're trying to do for our clients, again, and this is on the occupier side, is trying to structure lower rentals today in exchange for a longer lease. So perhaps the tenant has 2 years left to run on their lease. We'd say, let's extend that lease. So give us an additional 3 years. So now it's 5 years left you have in your lease. But we'll reduce your rentals today. What that does is take the pressure off the tenant today, cash flow wise, but it gives us some security in terms of that longer lease period that's required. And that's effectively what we structure quite a lot of the time, and it's a huge benefit to the tenant. And where we focus is in that advisory space with the occupiers. So we have large national clients with, you know, 150 sites nationally, or, you know, they might have significant footprints nationally. And what we get in and try and understand their portfolio and try and restructure it to reduce their overheads in the medium term. And in exchange, we give the landlord some additional benefit. But really, the benefit accrues to the tenant today. So that's just an example of one of the ways we'd look to restructure our clients' portfolios. Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, seems like you guys are on the move, right? And I guess still anticipating those interest rate hikes. And that, of course, having some kind of ripple effect then on some of the clients that you might serve, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, that really, I think that'll hit our auction business. We focus on an online auction model, and I think where a lot of people have been hanging on to their properties, they might be thinking now, well, now the interest rates are going up, which then in turn pushes the yields that investors can pay. So perhaps now, before we see a huge interest rate push, which is going to increase the cost of holding these properties, and before yields drop, yields go up, but the value of the property drops. We're going to try and maybe offload this property, and that gives owner occupiers an opportunity to buy. And we're seeing that across the board at the moment. There's a lot of activity in the owner occupier market.
Awesome.
And at value, really good value. You know, some that we haven't seen for quite a while, like I mentioned with office property. And we see a lot of we're going to see a lot of activity in that auction sector.
Oh, looking forward to that. Lots of assets going under the hammer, and I think that's a trend that we'll definitely look deeper into, just to witness some of the trends and activity that will take place there.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time today, John. I feel like I just attended a lecture on, you know, industrial property, and all the wiser for having spoken to you this evening.
Amazing. Great to chat, huh?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time this evening. That's John Jack. He's the CEO of Galletti Corporate Real Estate. And we've been taking a look at some of the opportunities that might exist, and of course, growth opportunity that exists not only in the overall industrial sector, which in itself is quite huge, right? We're talking distribution sectors, self-storage, and of course, shared working environments, but particularly also focusing on self-storage sectors, which is not just the little garages that people tend to store their things in, should they be moving or not have sufficient space, but some of the investment opportunities that this might present. Now, whilst you might not have 5 million rand lying around in your bank account, you can still gain some access to some of these assets by investing in them through the stock market, as they are REITs. In other words, a real estate investment trust where you, again, buy even just one share and are able to still reap dividends or a payout from what you'll receive, or distributions, as it's called, within the property space. But we'll continue more with that conversation and help us, you know, understand if you're actually looking to do more within the self-storage or property space in that regard. And we're keen to get your thoughts. You can tweet us at Kaya On Air, tweet me at Gugumfuphi, use the hashtag KayaBiz.
KayaBiz with Gugulethumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.